Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy. In January, I came on staff and was delighted to come on staff. And as a church at that time, we wanted to take the approach to have unreserved worship. We wanted to be a church that we were unreserved in our worship of God. We wanted to hold nothing back in our adoration and our exaltation and our affection for Jesus. And we want to be a church that loves Jesus with everything that we are. And so I have thoroughly enjoyed being a part of this family and worshiping together and going on this journey to be more unreserved in our worship of Jesus and exploring the depths of his goodness, his faithfulness, his righteousness, his love. And there have been some incredible moments together. I can remember a couple worship nights that we've had, and just the presence of God was so incredibly tangible in the room. And it was just a really good time to worship together as our family. And so I believe that God has moved us closer to this idea of unreserved worship. And I believe he is making us a people who are radical in our worship for him. So this morning I want to look at the life of David, a man who was said to be, by God himself, a man after God's own heart. In 1 Samuel 13:14, it says this, "But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord has commanded you." And in Acts 13:22, "And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, 'I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will.'" David was, whoa. If you didn't catch that, go watch it online after, because this tea almost spilled everywhere. David was a man of many things. He did many things. He did many good things. He did many bad things. He had some major wins, and he had some major fails. But, in the words of Mike Bickle, he said this, "The quality that best defines David as a man after God's own heart is his extravagant commitment to worship God. Before anything else, David was a man who sought the heart of God. He was a worshiper." When we look at David's life, we see someone who took delight in knowing God. We see someone who took delight in the presence of God. Psalm 37, one of David's most famous songs, it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." David was a man who took delight in the heart of the Father. He pursued God's heart. And David not only took delight in knowing God and in worshiping him, but he made a commitment. And he said that if I'm going to be the king of Israel, Israel is going to worship God too. We are going to be a people who are going to worship God. David made it a priority. Mike Bickle says this, "King David was Israel's greatest warrior, yet he was a lovesick worshiper, ravished by God's desire for him and fascinated by God's beauty." David expresses his heart beautifully in Psalm 27, 1 through 6. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me, to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes. It is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. And then he says this, one thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in the shelter of in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted upon above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices and shouts of praise, shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. If God himself calls David a man after God's own heart, I think there's something that we can learn from David about his God-honoring worship. I believe that it was David's heart of worship that made him a man after God's heart. I believe that God called David a man after his heart because he was most satisfied in knowing God. He was most satisfied in being with God, ministering to the Lord. That's where he was most satisfied. So, David made worship a priority. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, when David was anointed king, David becomes king, and the very first thing that David does is he goes and brings back the Ark of the Covenant, which was the presence of God. And he brings it back to Jerusalem, and and he makes it a priority that the presence of God would be in their city, that they would minister to the Lord in their city. And so in 2 Samuel 6, verse 2, David arose and went with all the people who were with him to Baal Judah to bring up the Ark of God, which is called by the name, the very name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned above the cherubim. David did not waver in what he wanted to do when he became king. The very first thing that David did was he went into the camp of the Philistines and captured the ark back, and he brought the presence of God back to Jerusalem. In 1 Chronicles 15 and 16, we see the same story. David's bringing back the ark to Jerusalem. We see it in greater detail. And David places the ark in a tent, and then he appoints Levites to as ministers before the ark of the Lord. And their job was, the Levites, all they did was they were to call upon the name of the Lord, and they were to give thanks and to give praise to God. That's all they did, all day long. 1 Chronicles 16:37. So David left Asaph and his brothers there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord to minister regularly before the ark as each day required. So David made worship a priority. It wasn't just a nonchalant thing. Yeah, maybe we'll worship God. No, we are going to have the ark of the covenant in Jerusalem. This is the presence of God. This is where the presence of God rests. We are going to minister before God, and we are going to do it all the time. And we are going to have people of our of our tribes. They are going to minister before the Lord. David made worship a priority. How can we make worship a priority in our lives? Find 5 minutes in your day and maybe set a timer every day at 1 o'clock, 1 to 1:05. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. Bill Johnson said once, he said, if you only have 8 minutes with the Lord to spend time in quiet time with the Lord, spend it in worship. Spend it in adoration. call upon the name of the Lord. Thank him for who he is. God, you are a faithful God. I worship you, God. I give you praise this morning because you have sustained us through the night. Spend 5 minutes. You know, there's always another thing we can do in our day. But giving God even just 5 minutes of worship is worth your time. Or maybe you're driving in the car on your way to work, or you're shoveling the driveway. Spend it moment by moment, just giving little shouts of praise in your driveway. David worshiped a God he knew. Worship is the overflow of knowing God. So we can't worship God unless we know God, right? Because what would we give him praise for if we didn't know his goodness, if we didn't know his kindness, if we didn't have revelation of who he is? That's why there's new songs being written all the time. Because the writers are constantly seeing new sides of who God is, constantly seeing new sides of his faithfulness and his gentleness and his kindness. It's like, let's write a song about that. It's not because we think we need to sing new songs in church every single week. It's not because we're trying to make more money. I mean, some people are writing for money, but it's because God is showing more of him. He's showing more sides of him. He's showing his character to people, and people can't help themselves but write about it. You know, David wrote at least 73 psalms, maybe more. Psalm 19, 7-9, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. David pursued God. He wanted a relationship with him. He sought after God. He read the word, and he took delight in God's ways. David gave worship that cost him something. Tom Crowder says this: simply put, our willingness to give costly worship is an indication of our heart's attitude. Simply put, our willingness to give costly worship is an indication of our heart's attitude. When we give worship that costs us something, and we do it willingly, it reveals our heart to want to honor God. When it costs us our time, when it costs us our energy, when it costs us our finances, when it costs us our pride, when it costs us our convenience, these things, when we lay them aside, it honors God because it's costing us something. David was a fantastic example of honoring God with worship that cost him something. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, we see this story where God, where David had sinned against God, and what happened was there was a pestilence had come upon the land because of his sin. And so the prophet Gad came to David and said, you need to go and build an altar before the Lord, and you need to sacrifice, and you need to make things right. And so David goes to a threshing floor to build an altar. And the owner of this threshing floor, David wants to purchase it from the owner. And the owner says, hey, you know what? How about I just give it to you? And David's like, no. That's not going to happen. I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord, my God, that cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings so that the Lord responded to the plea for the land and the plague was averted from Israel. It honors God when we give him something that costs us because it reveals a heart that we want to honor God no matter what. David also worshiped with all of his affection. He worshiped with his feelings. He worshiped with his emotions. It wasn't just a head thing for David. For him, it wasn't just cerebral. It was with his affections and with his heart. I think I've shared this before, but one of my prayers that I've prayed many, many times is that my faith and my interaction with God and my relationship with God wouldn't just become something that stays in my head, that God would stir my affections for Jesus, that I would love him with my affections, that it wouldn't grow cold. That my affections wouldn't grow cold. It's so easy to check the boxes of Christianity, to come to church on Sunday. I read my Bible yesterday, which is a good thing. I prayed 5 minutes yesterday. I did all these things. And the next thing you know it, 5 years down the road, all you're doing is checking boxes. And you have no affections for Jesus. You're completely cold on the inside, but you're doing all the outward actions. And this is easy for anyone to get into. I love checking boxes. I love accomplishing things. So Bible reading, perfect. Check that box. It's so easy to get into those habits. But to take time, like David... David worshiped with his heart. His heart never went cold. In Psalm 27, verse 4, "One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I would gaze upon the beauty of God and inquire in his temple. I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord." David worshiped with his affections. I want to try something this morning. Hopefully my voice will let me do it. But I'm going to sing a song. And while I sing this song, I want you to ask the Lord that he would stir your affections for Jesus, that your relationship with him, that your comings and goings, that your daily routines, you wouldn't grow cold to the heart of God, that you would know him intimately. And so while I sing this song, just make this your prayer. Lord, stir my affections for Jesus. The song's called "With All My Affection" by Brian Dirksen.
With all my affection, all my understanding, Lord, I worship you. And with my every action, all my spirit's passion, Lord, I worship you. There's no higher call than loving you with my life. There's no higher ground than kneeling down before you, Lord, I surrender. There's no higher call than loving you with my life. There's no higher ground than kneeling down before you, Lord, I surrender.
Yeah, God, I just pray that you would stir our affections for Jesus, that we would long to know you in a deeper way, that you would show us more of who you are, and that we would worship with all our affection, with all our emotion, with all of our passion, with everything that you've put inside us. I pray that we would be people who worship like that, that we would worship like David did. I pray this in your name. Finally, David worshiped in all situations. Psalm 63, verses 1 to 3. This psalm was most likely written during the time of Absalom's rebellion. And if you're familiar with the story of David, David's son Absalom rebelled against him and tried to make himself king. And so David penned this psalm most likely during that time. And he said this: "O God, you are my God, and earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life." David held on to God in all circumstances, and he not only held on to God in all circumstances, he worshiped God in all circumstances. When he was down and out, and things looked horrible, which happened a lot in David's life, to be honest, David worshiped God. Psalm 43, verse 5. "Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." Matt Redman, a worship leader, he wrote a book called The Unquenchable Worshiper. Has anyone ever read that? One person in the back. All right. It's a book on worship, clearly. And Matt Redman, he shares this story in this book, and it says, "The year is 1744. Hymn writer Charles Wesley is in Leeds, England, holding a prayer meeting in an upstairs room. Suddenly, there's a creak in the floorboards, followed by a massive crack, and the whole floor collapses, and 100 people crash right through the ceiling and into the room below. The place is in chaos. People are screaming. Some are crying. Some are in shock. But as the dust settles, Wesley, wounded and lying in a heap, cries out, 'Fear not. The Lord is with us. Our lives are safe. And then he breaks out into the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Perhaps a bizarre choice of song, considering what had just happened. But here's the point. While everyone else was licking their wounds, the heart of this unstoppable worshiper was responding with unshakable praise. Think to the times in your life when you're like, God, where are you? What are you doing? Do you even care about me? And what does David do? He worships God. This morning, we're all in a bunch of different circumstances. Some of us have lost jobs. Some of us have terminal sickness. Some of us have broken families, broken relationships. Yet I want to encourage us this morning to worship like David in all situations. All these aspects of David's worship came from one place, and they came from David's heart. All of David's extravagant worship was an overflow of what was already inside, of what was already inside of his heart. All worship flows from intimacy and a knowledge of who God is. The story of the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus and he says, I want to inherit eternal life. And Jesus says, you know the commandments? And he's like, yeah, I've kept them all. And Jesus said, all right, take all you have and sell it and give it to the poor. And he walks away. Because Jesus was after his heart. Jesus was like, yay, you kept all the commandments. Your heart isn't near me. And David's heart was a heart who pursued God. David's heart was a lovesick worshiper of God. Yeah, God, would you make us lovesick worshipers of Jesus? Would you stir our affections for Jesus in this moment? David's life was a life saturated with God. At every turn, at every crossroads, it was God, worshiping God, honoring God, crying out to God, angry with God, questioning God, delighting in God. David's life was a life devoted to God. Worship is productive. It is meaningful. And under David's leadership, it became a full-time job for some priests to invoke, to thank, and to praise God. You and I are now a part of that priesthood. The priesthood of all believers, the ministry of worship, has become our vocation and our calling. Why don't we stand together and let's respond in worship to our God. Let's respond with hearts like David, that we would worship, that we would make worship our priority, that we would make, that we would worship with our affections, that we would worship in all situations this morning. So God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are a good God. We just declare that you are worthy of our worship this morning, that there is no one else besides you who is worthy of our worship. We look to you this morning, and like David, we gaze upon your beauty in the temple. And we come to you and we say, you are worthy of our praise, God. You are worthy of our worship. Holy is your name, God. There is no one like you, God. And you are delighted by your children who just want to know you. thank you for that, Lord. Let's worship.